you so much for joining us here on Elevated. My name is Jenna Lee Belong, and if you just joined us, you're coming at the right time because my VIP for the day, the guest, our guest of honor, is no stranger at all. We've spoken to him before. Not only is he a very anointed worship leader, but today I get to speak to him in his capacity as an author as well. You might know him as Keith Rain, or today you might get to know him as Keith Sibiya. Keith, good day, and thank you so much for your time. Welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Thank you for having me here, and greetings to all your listeners on all the platforms. It is such a privilege to be here, and I'm so grateful. Thank you for having me.
Listen, I'm mentioning Keith Rain, which is how I know your music, and I know you as a worship leader, but then there's Keith Sibiya as well. When it comes to this new journey of yours, which one will be the prominent one leading it? Is it Keith Rain, Keith Sibiya, combination?
Look, this has been it's been a struggle. We sat down and we had to decide which way are we going. And I think it's, as much as it's the same person, it's two different people in a way as well. So we are going to be more leaning on more on the Keith Sibiya side of things, because this is more, when I'm preaching, I'm Keith Sibiya. When I'm leading worship in the church, in a local church, I'm Keith Sibiya. But when I come out of the local church, that is Keith Wayne. So this time around, we are speaking to Keith Sibiya.
Well, I want you to, just for those who might be encountering you for the first time, just take us back to how long you've been doing worship, both on a local level, but also recording, and just perhaps what that privilege means to you to be able to lead God's people into his presence, to be able to shift atmospheres.
So thank you, Jenna. That's a beautiful question. I've been in the worship ministry now for just over 20 years, but there's been different aspects to it, how I've been involved. Initially started as a percussionist, believe it or not. I always was a singer, but when I joined the worship team back in Pinetown, I was a percussionist. And then they added a microphone for me, a percussionist and singing. And then from then, I went into backing vocals, and then I started leading from there. But in terms of recording, I started recording in 2020, just like most people who started cooking and baking and all these things because of COVID. I had music, and that's all I could do. So I had some songs with me. I spoke to my producer, and we decided to put out a song. That's when we put out Yahweh El Shaddai. That was the first single that we put out. So I've been recording music since then. I've got an EP that's out. It was released last year, I think August, if I'm not mistaken. It's called The King and I. The songs are there on the platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, and on the airwaves as well. So you can go and listen to those songs there. And I've got a single that's coming up that we're busy also mixing. And but before we get to the single, it's the book that we're launching, and I'm excited about that.
Well, we're going to take our listeners or viewers through some of your book, Dear Worship Minister. But before we do get into that, why is it important for worship ministers to be mentored, to be guided, to be trained, to be pastored? I think we spoke about this the last time as well.
Jenna, you know, so often we tend to focus a lot on the musical aspects of what we do. Sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on the skills of our people, and sometimes neglect things that are very essential and crucial in our work with God, which is our soul care. And just to take it back to how the book really came about, this book came about, it was born out of conversations with worship ministers, rehearsals with worship teams and prayer meetings, and just some quiet times with worship leaders as well, just finding out how they're doing and realizing that there's a lot of something consistent comes out of those conversations. And a lot of worship ministers are faithful, and they're skillful, and but they're tired. they are gifted, but they are stretched so much, and they're committed, But quietly, they're asking a lot of questions, like why do we do what we're doing? Who is this woman worshiping, and why are we worshiping? And out of that, I felt the need to say, let's put together a guide, spiritual, that will help us as worship ministers not veer off or lose sight of why we do what we do, and a better understanding of why we should do it.
Well, one of the first chapters, in fact, the first chapter that you write about in Dear Worship Minister is Come and See. You address worship as an invitation and encounter. And I love how you were emphasizing that worship begins with an invitation. Unpack that for us.
When I wrote that passage, so the book, just to take us a step back, the book started as letters. That's why I said, Dear Worship Minister. So when I saw the need, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just write letters. 10 letters to worship ministers, and I had the topics, what I think we need to speak about. And Come See was the very first one. That's an invitation. I think for me, it's why we do what we do. I love how when Andrew encounters Jesus, when reading the word, he encounters Jesus and he goes back to his brother Simon and he says, come, come and we have met the Messiah. Come and see for yourself. It is not come and see me interact with the Messiah, or come and see how I sing, come and see how I play. It's come and see Jesus. Our call is to point people to Jesus. Our ministry or worship needs to point people to Jesus, not to ourselves. And likewise, you see, Philip also encounters Jesus. He goes to speak to Nathaniel. He says, come and see. It's an invitation. Always an invitation. And one of my favorite ones is the woman at the well. She encounters Jesus and she goes and calls the whole community to come and see the man who's told me everything that I've ever done. It's come and see Jesus. So our worship, I think, as worship ministers, whichever space you are, but who is the worship minister? Even if you are a financial manager, you worship God with that. That's what God is. Your hands, but actually, in whatever you do, it's an invitation for people to come and see Jesus, not to come and see us. And I think that's essential.
I love that, and I love how you put it, and you touched on it now, that performance basically says, come watch us. But invitation says, come meet him. And another thing you write about in that chapter is about worship becoming excellence, or being about excellence without encounter, and that loses its power. And when you look at the worship experiences, let me call that we have as Christians, so much of the emphasis has gone on to excellence. Do we have the right instruments? If the keyboard is not red, I don't know what a red keyboard is, but I just realized that a keyboard player, if it's not red, if your church doesn't have that red one, then it's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit is not going to show up. If we don't have cordless mics, we need the smoke, we need the lights. And
You know,
yes, excellence is important, the production is important, but most of the attention or the focus over the last couple of years, it has truly shifted to excellence without encounter, I would say.
and then why are we doing what we're doing, Jenna? You know, if we are not pointing people to Jesus, then what are we doing? I think excellence is important. Excellence in itself is worship towards God, because if you think about the Levites, the Bible speaks in Chronicles about the Levites preparing for the temple. They prepared well so that whoever comes into worship or whoever comes to the presence of God, everything is set up for them. So in a manner, we want to have our facilities set up that they are not a distraction for people, but actually open and encourage people to enter in. So our worship as well shouldn't be a distraction. What can be a distraction in our worship is us shifting the focus to us and not to God. That in itself is a massive distraction, because when we lead worship, we want people to encounter Jesus. But if the smoke and our skillful playing is standing on the way, is blocking the way of people entering in to the presence of God, then we're not doing it right. So first and foremost, even with the teams, we try and sit, like I always try and sit with the team and say, before we go anywhere, we've got the music fine. We've got it. We know what to play. How are you feeling? What are you expecting today? Mr. Drummer or Mr. Bass Guitarist or Mr. Sound Engineer, because we are part of the same team. We can't come with no expectation in ourselves. So we need to come already carrying the presence when you're coming in on the platform. So what are you expecting? That helps them shift the mindset from just playing so well, but actually think about the people that we are here for. So we want to open the doors and not close the doors for them.
I love this conversation. I love this book, the brand new book by Keith Sibiya titled Dear Worship Minister. And we are just touching on parts of the book. And remember, Keith said beautifully earlier, this is not just about those who are on stage leading worship on a stage in a church. Every single one of us in our different spheres of influence, we are worship ministers. So this conversation is for you. And Keith, we're going to continue to dive into this book and just your heart around it as well. But I want to ask you, how does it feel to be an author now? How does it feel to be a published author?
Hey, Jenna, it is a weighty one. I think music has come a lot easier because it just feels like there's so many musicians. I don't really know a lot of authors. That's the reality. And to write about the things of the kingdom, this is something that's going to stay for a lifetime. You know, this is going to outlive us. I was saying that to my wife yesterday. This is going to outlive us. We want to make sure that the production is great and stuff, but actually these words will outlive us. And therefore it's hefty. It's very weighty in my shoulders. Say, actually, God, you've put this, but I'm like, I'm bringing it to you again, as small as it is, going to anoint it and going to do great and immeasurable things. But
Yeah.
is it a weighty feel?
What's the purpose with this book for you? Are you hoping to use it as a ministry tool? Are you hoping to be able to travel with it? What's the purpose behind it?
The purpose is really to encourage the church and the worship leaders. It's not just for the worship leaders. I'll say to one of the mates I was speaking to, I say it's not necessarily for worship leaders, but also it's for leaders, for the pastors. The pastors are the ones that appoint worship ministers in the church. Who are you appointing, and what are you looking for in somebody that you need to appoint as a worship minister? There's things about character. Yes, there's skill, but character. How is their character? How is their theology as well? You know, so those things are found also in the book, and I think pastors also need help with that because they can sometimes focus on the preaching and just appoint Christians to come and do the things, and it tends to become two separate meetings in a sense. There's a worship meeting and there's a preaching. But actually, these are connected, and there needs to be some sort of a great flow that's not separating on any of this. So I think the heart is that churches can possibly, or teams can possibly go through the book almost in a workshop format, because it's set up like that. There's reflections as well. After you go through a passage, then we reflect on how are we doing in this topic, you know, as a team. And I think that teams can benefit a lot if they go through it as almost as a workshop. But also, I will be doing workshops based on the books. We'll just set up a workshop for maybe a weekend, and we go through the book together.
Love that.
And I'm studying already. We're off to Sri Lanka next week, and I'm taking copies with me because we are going to sit with some worship ministers, and we're going to talk through these things and help them. They make sure that they're equipped and they're empowered and they're able to do the work that God has called them to.
Keith, you mentioned earlier that you don't know a lot of authors, and that in itself came with challenges, the publication journey. I know so many people who want to write a book, but they just can't get themselves to do it. They don't know where to start. They don't know how to publish it. Maybe tell us the testimony around the publication of your book.
The publication is a lot of work. The writing all of a sudden seems very easy. You know, when it's time to publish, I realize, okay, I've got the book now. What do I do? You know, I know which chapter needs to come before what, and how the layout needs to be. What has helped me though the most is that I worked in print for half my life, almost 15 years. I worked in print production. Worked with some major print companies in South Africa. So I do have a relationship with that, and I have a knowledge of print itself. and publications itself. But in terms of the processes on registering and getting the ISBNs and who to send to, uploading it to Amazon, oh my word, that is a pain. That is a pain. And so I think I would say get help. Get help. Yes, write the book yourself, have the structures. You know how you want to lay the book out, but I'll say try and find help from people that have done it before, if you can, because they'll be able to advise you as to how you need to go about it, because it becomes very stressful, especially towards the release. It can become very stressful. But financially also, I didn't want to use my own money on the project. It was a faith venture, you know. It's really a faith project for me. And I said, "Here's the project we want to release this book. Here's the date, and we're trusting that people can buy, pre-order, so that we can pay for print and be able to move on." And yeah, it's been a bit tough being the first book. Obviously, people need to know they need to know you, that you're an author before they can buy. They need to read something so they can buy. But it's been really kind. We've had partners who've come in and said, "Okay, we'll help you. We'll help you. We'll help you." And we that's where we are. So I'll say, get help. Get help as much as you can, because it can become stressful.
Absolutely. And I also just want to encourage the kingdom. You know, one of the things that I always ask myself, Keith, when I tackle any project is that where are the people? You know, I'm like, we are the kingdom. When you tackle something, when I have an event, I always tell myself, I'm never, ever, ever doing another Women Unlimited again, because the stress and the struggle until the day of the event, people don't buy the tickets. Everybody wants the tickets for free, and there's so much cost attached to it. So I really just want to encourage the kingdom. Look at this incredible kingdom product that I'm looking at right now, your book, Dear Worship Minister. In my mind, this book needs to be in the hand of every believer, and especially worship teams as well. As a kingdom, we need to get together and do the things of the kingdom, right, Keith?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I think for us, for me, it's been very important that I pray and I find peace in it and say, "God, you've given me this year, and you will put this book in everyone's hands, whoever you want to have this book." You know, I'm trusting that multitudes can buy the book, that we run out of stock and we print more. But I'm saying, God, get it to the right hands.
Amen.
I feel I've done my part. We've printed, and Holy Spirit, take it further. From now on, it's you, and we're trusting that people can buy. And my heart would be really that seasoned worship ministers and new ones, the ones that are wanting to get in or just started, can get all of it, because it's for everybody. It's not just for the old guys or the young guys. It's for everybody. I think the message is good for us all.
Absolutely. Well, another thing that you speak about in the book is the fact that worship is our highest calling. And you speak about corporate worship and how it becomes a sacred rhythm that actually ends up sustaining the spiritual life of a church. The way that you described that to me was so beautiful. Corporate worship becomes a sacred rhythm that sustains the spiritual life of the church. I wanted to unpack that in a little bit about worship being our highest calling, but within the context of how, especially after COVID-19, people are still not really back in church. Some people still believe we don't need corporate worship. I don't even need somebody to lead me. That whole corporate worship, atmosphere is not necessary. Maybe just touched on that for us, please.
So the greatest call for us actually is God calls us to himself. You know, sometimes we can confuse our giftings, or what God has put in our hands is our calling. That is not necessarily our calling. The call is him calling us towards himself. The same way we call his disciples to come follow me, that is a call. So the call upon our lives is Jesus saying, "Come follow me." That is a call. And then there's a purpose. The purpose is to worship him and nothing else. The purpose of our lives is to worship him. That does not change. No matter where we go, what we do, the purpose of our lives is to worship him. And out of worshiping him, then all other things flow into that. And then there's an assignment, which then comes our giftings, come the skills that we have, comes the place where God has put us into worshiping Him. And those three things are very essential for us to understand. So we don't cross paths as to, okay, I'm called, I'm a worship, I'm called into worship, but actually you're called to Him, We are called to Him. And the purpose when you're called to Him is to worship Him. And then we have an assignment, which is to worship Him wherever we are, or sing, or work, or be in a finance company, or do your spreadsheets. That's the assignment, to lead people to Jesus where you are. That is the assignment. Now, as a corporate, for corporate worship is important as we gather as believers. It is important because we come together in unity, and we declare the goodness of God together in unity as a community. We're saying, God, thank you for the things that you've done for us as a community. And then also, because at home, we thank God at home. Individually, we sing in the shower, we do whatever we do, or in our workplaces. But when we come together, there's something special that happens when we come together. We see it when Israel is reading the scriptures. He's reading the scriptures, and everybody says, Amen, amen, amen. We come in agreement, and there is power when you come in agreement. Proverbs says there's God commands blessings where there's unity.
Amen.
So it is that important for us. And then we sing those songs in our hearts throughout the week, the songs that we've been singing, declaring together. When we sing corporately, we encourage one another. We're not just singing to God, we're singing vertically, we're singing horizontally, and we're singing vertically. That's what we do. We're singing to God, and we're singing to one another. We are encouraging one another. So worship together as we gather is also as essential as we worship in our own spaces.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Keith, as I'm listening to you, I'm so tempted to just continue to go and to touch on every single part of the book, but we're not going to be able to do that, unfortunately, today. I'm going to be giving our listeners and viewers an opportunity to get their phones, get their pens and papers ready. You're going to share the detail on where they can get the book. But I do want to touch on something that I'm very passionate about. You write about the temptation of visibility. I always say to people that the anointing is attractive. Serving is attractive, for instance. You attract the eyes of people. You get attention when you serve. And there's a danger in that. And I was saying the other day that whether you're carrying a cable in church on a Sunday, I promise you, you're going to get attention because there's that guy. He's always carrying the cables. There's that lady, you know, the way she prays, the way she leads prayer. You become visible. It is attractive. Unpack the temptation of visibility for us, especially as you put it in the book within the context of Matthew 6, verse 1, that says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them.
I think we are driven a lot by our sinful nature. And I think the sinful nature tends to, our flesh tends to be stronger sometimes than our spirit. You know, a lot of people, we always come and do things with good intentions sometimes, but there's that thing of like, that just appreciates the applause so much that we sometimes tend to look for it as well, because we've enjoyed it so much. And I mean, I've seen people not be happy or be disappointed that somebody else was told that they did well and they did not do well. Now we're getting into strife, because I want to hear that myself as well. So I think we need to be careful. And this stems from lack of abiding, I think. I do touch on abiding and in the book. Abiding is essential, because abiding is the root of all fruitfulness. So when we abide in Him, everything that we do is for Him. You know, the fruits that I produce when I'm in the vine is the fruit of the vine. I cannot produce bananas when I'm in the vine. I'm going to produce fruit of the vine. So I think we need to abide, and that will help us stay on our knees and be humble enough to deflect any focus that people, because people will give you focus, people will give you praises. And it's great that people say, well done, you did great. But actually, when people say that, we also need to educate and actually say, yes, you know, actually, we did so good. You know why we did so good? Man, we prayed as a team that actually when we worship today, that God can do this and this and this and this as a team, not just me. And that helps us actually deflect this thing of wanting to take center stage instead of Jesus. We don't want center stage. I know I don't want center stage because if you take the glory, you get the beating.
Come
And
on.
I don't take the glory. I want to give the glory to him so that he deals with it and we celebrate, we keep enjoying ourselves. So yes.
I love that. And if you listen today and perhaps you want to know more about Keith Sibiya, you want this book, Dear Worship Minister, you want him to come do training at your church, or you just want him to come and speak to your congregation, whatever it might be. Beautiful couple, they are doing great things in the kingdom of God. They are available. Keith, how do people get the book? Are there still seats available for the launch? How do they reach you?
So for the launch, we have about 10 seats only available. And we've got one more, is it 2 more days? Because the launch is on Saturday. So we've got about 10 more seats available for the launch. You can head up to my Instagram page. That's Keith. You can go Keith Rain and you'll find me there. You'll see the links under Keith Rain. You'll see the link to the website, that kithsibiya.org. And you are able to buy the book there as well and to book your spot for the launch. And the book will be available on Amazon as of the 16th as well. You can get it as an ebook or you can get the hard copy as well. But hard copy is always good, I think. You've got it. I can even sign it for you when I see you. Whenever you see where I'm at, you can bring it and then I can sign it for you and you can store it nicely. So, but yeah, the book will be available from the 16th on all these platforms.
I love hard copies. I love the smell of new books. I just love
Yes.
making notes in it. I love the physical act of sitting with a book. It's so therapeutic. Thank you so much once again. That is keithsibiya.org. Keithsibiya.org. That's where you will get all the information. Keith, thank you so much for the book. Thank you for your obedience, for pushing through, for your love for the kingdom and the people of God. The Lord bless you and all the best in Sri Lanka as well.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Thank you for having me again at Elevate. I really love it here. It feels like home now. And thank you for just for encouragements all the time. And yeah, looking forward to Saturday and to seeing you there. Thank you.
Right, thank you so much. That is Keith Sibiya. Get the book, Bazalwane. It's titled Dear Worship Minister. Whether it's on Amazon or keithsibiya.org, just make sure you get your hands on a copy.